Welcome to Mindset 52 Podcast, your source for powerful strategies and uplifting stories from top-tier achievers, athletes, entrepreneurs, and industry visionaries. Discover how they thrive in their fields while staying true to what really matters: personal well-being and family. Immerse yourself in their transformative insights and step closer to your highest potential. This is Mindset 52. Here we go.
Welcome, everyone, to Mindset 52 with J.R. Rivera. Today's guest is Juan Magaña, a good friend of mine. Juan, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me, J.R. I appreciate it. This is what, like the 25th podcast that we've tried? This is hopefully the good one. It's take 26.
He's giving a shit because we had a little bit of a mishap on the first one. It was a little audio technicality. It was my fault 100%, but hey, you live and you learn, right? So we're getting this thing going, trying to understand how we have everything set up. But thank you so much for being on and having this conversation with me. I really wanted to get into some talking points just because you have such an just a crazy life going on right now with all the different businesses that you're running, everything you have going on. And we had a conversation a couple years back. There have been a lot of changes, so many things that have moved and grown, and I feel like you as an individual have grown a lot too, and I have as well. So different points in life now, and so I wanted to run it back, see how we can see where we're at, see what's going on. Excellent. So tell me a little bit about Juan Magaña. What's going on, man?
Gosh, I don't know, man. My head's all over the place. Well, I just opened the third Bomb Taco. Eventually, I like to franchise probably Bomb Taco. I think it's a good brand. And working at Epoca, I always work. I say work because I work at other places. So three Bomb Tacos, Epoca, cake shop, barber shop. My wife mainly runs the Airbnb that we have. Somebody said, get into Airbnbs, and here we are trying to Airbnbs a year later. And I don't know if it's a thing, but all right.
Has it been successful, the Airbnb? Yeah,
is it doing pretty good? I think so, man. Yeah. I mean, it feels like it's not, but I think it's good. It's a good thing for her to run and work out and figure out as a business because, she feels like it's not because it's not like making money, right?
The cash flow is not huge.
Yeah. And I told her, I was like, it's not like that. She's like, oh, I feel like all the money goes to taxes. Oh, I feel all the money goes to pay this, pay that. And I was like, that's the business. I'm like, you might not make any money this year, you know?
Yeah.
But it's made money for sure. But that was her only concern is she has to pay taxes every year. I'm like, that's just normal. That's I have to pay taxes monthly for all the
businesses. Can't get away from Uncle Sam, man.
Yeah, yeah. And so I explained to her, and I think she understands. But it's cool. I mean, we own the property. It pays, it just sits in the bank, basically. I mean, if you ever want to go on vacation, there's that money, or use it to buy another property, you have money to put down.
You owe it. Outright?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So that's what happened.
So you are cash flowing then.
Yeah. I'm telling you, just literally the taxes that she's like.
So that's enough to get anybody.
Yeah, it depends where you're at, in Omaha, but it's like, damn, that goes to taxes? And when you look at it, usually it's like you got a mortgage, like say at my house, and you got a mortgage, and it's just like,
I mean, we do have some of the biggest tax levy in the nation.
Silly, man. It's pretty like crazy. Yeah. So you fix all Why the potholes Omaha? Will be fixed.
What's it got, right?
Potholes, bro.
Like, come on. That's...
Yeah. So that's the biggest thing when you look at it. And when you have to, it's a lump sum that goes, we like to play like all at once. So we're not sitting there. And I think she notices it versus, paying monthly from a mortgage. You don't notice it, right? It's a few $100 or whatever, and it's part of your mortgage.
Hits you a little harder.
Yeah. But now, every time she sees it, she's like, oh, my gosh. I just feel like I just paid that. And I'm like, just do the payment schedule or whatever you want to do. You can pay it monthly or whatever if it that way it doesn't hurt, But, that's what I'm doing right now. I got a son in college. He's a junior, computer science. And then I have a freshman. He's 20, and he's about to be 21 on Sunday.
Oh, man. Think about the Epoca. Probably not.
No, I don't. I like to have family there, honestly. Like, even my sister, any family, brothers, sisters, cousins, anybody.
Yeah.
It's just tough. because then I can't focus on work, you know? Mm. I'm like, I gotta, no, get off the table. Yep. Get off the table. No. So he's turning 21, and then my daughter is 18, so she's a freshman in Lincoln at UNL, and he's at UNO, and she's a pre-med for right now. Who knows for how long, you sure. know?
Yeah.
And so she's like, I don't work. Like chemistry or something, and she'd be like, oh, you know, it's what?
Long way, long road.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what she wants to do. My wife's still a reading interventionist. She works with little kids, still in elementary school, so... she used to be, well, she's technically still a teacher, but now she's like another level where she just works with small groups of kids who are struggling readers.
Yep.
And she pulls them in like 1, 2, 3 at a time. They get a little bit more one-on-one versus in the classroom when you have, I don't know, 25 kids in these classrooms nowadays. They don't get the attention they need. So she pulls one-on-one from kindergarten, I think, to like fourth grade. And then morning duties, afternoon duties, stuff like that. And she was helping out with the cake shop, so she's doing that. She's doing payroll, paying the taxes.
So you own a cake shop as well?
Yeah. So the cake shop is... So I have another partner who used to work for me at the restaurant. She used to make cakes. And so I told her, I was like, if an opportunity ever opens up, are you down to open up a cake shop? She's like, oh, yeah, I'm down. I was like, all right. But not in Spanish. Obviously, she speaks Spanish. She's from El Salvador, so it wasn't like that. Yeah, I'm down.
That's awesome.
And, an opportunity came up, and I saw something, and I was like, you down? She's like, yeah. So we opened it up, and I figured it was
What's the name of the cake shop?
Tita's Cakes.
Tita's Cakes.
Yeah, Tita's Cakes. And it's on 84th and Q in Omaha, Nebraska. And
that was pretty close, actually.
Yeah, it's not too far from you. But it was a good way to get my wife's feet wet, you know. Get her out there and try something. And I think she likes it. It's just she had school. Mm. So she gets out of school and then she goes there. And it's like then she's still there until closing time. Gives that lady a break, my partner. And I think it's draining sometimes because she also goes on Saturdays and on Sundays. Right. So she goes Saturday all day. I think they open at 11 or noon and they close like at 6. So she's there all day as well. And then on Sunday, they open for like 4 hours. So she'll show up for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And
it's a whole commitment.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, she gets to, I always, you know, I don't like to put it in her face. I'm like, now you feel the burn now, huh? I'm like, I'm running around everywhere. You know?
Queríamos norte, ¿no?
Yeah. I was like, here we go. So, anyways, man, that's kind of what we're doing. My son's dating somebody, my daughter's dating somebody, and everybody's kind of in their own little world. And, Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy
New Year. I didn't realize it was.
No, things have, I feel like this year has been, I mean, especially in my world, has been freaking crazy, man. This last year was insane. There's a lot of growth, a lot of learning. So, I mean, you're coming into this new year with another Bomb Taco.
Yeah.
And is the cake shop, has that been around for more than?
It's been around for over a year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then you also have is a barbershop?
Oh, yeah. So the barbershop, I didn't say.
Don't forget.
Yeah. I said the barbershop, but I forgot why I mentioned why you even get into the barbershop.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, why do you get into the barbershop? I love haircuts.
Yeah.
You know, ever since when I was a kid, I just like, I didn't get that many haircuts, honestly. I used to have that you just came from Mexico afro. You're like super dark and then a fro. Yeah. I was looking at some pictures. We went down to Lexington for. An alumni soccer tournament, and you know, I was the first one to score a goal for Lexington, Nebraska.
Hey.
And nowadays, like, they're going to state every year, winning state. Anyway, so I went back.
You're the first one in the program?
Yeah, so when I was a junior, that was our, no,
what sophomore year. What year was this? We'll put it out there.
In the 1900s. in the 1900s, my first goal was when I was a sophomore. We lost 11-1. That was our first game ever. 11-1. But you were the one? Yeah. So now if you ever see a thing on the question on the Lexington Clipper Herald, they're like, who was the first? It'll be Juan. Me, okay? I don't know if it'll be Juan or Magaña or Juan Magaña or Mr. Good Looking, but it'll be there. So I went back and I saw some of those pictures and we're talking about the my hair and I was like, afro, bro. Like, I was like, I was showing my kids, and they probably thought I was, oh, this is a cool dad. So he was probably a high school cool kid and all this. Well, no, I mean, I was cool, like, with everybody. But when it came down to the pictures, bro, like, I didn't have, like, the clothes, the haircut, nothing. So, you know, you can, it looks just, I'm telling you, like, super dark and an afro, like, I just came from Mexico, which usually was the case because I would go visit Mexico in the summer. So you come back, you're tan.
It was a style.
Yeah, it was. Like, right now, it's, like, my cut, whatever, the cut haircuts. But, and then they had the froze, but I really wanted to look fresh. Anyways, so I got, when I was in the Army, you know, I get a haircut like once or twice a week. I loved it. It was like $5.
Yep.
You know, so I'm getting haircuts like twice a week and you just sit there and I love it because it's just like, it's like a massage in your head and you're just in there and I could take a nap or like think about certain things. It's like for guys, I feel like it's a break. It's like if you go to the restroom and you sit on the toilet.
Honestly, just like a mental break.
You're just mental break from everything and you get to focus. I mean, obviously we didn't have our phones back in the day, but it would have been nice to return emails or whatever when you're sitting there thinking and thinking. Right. But the haircut's the same thing. I sit there and personally, I like plan out my day or the week or think about what's going on this weekend or what am I going to do. And I typically do, I do it once a week, my haircut, on a Thursday. So then get ready for the weekend at Epoca. Mm-hmm. And I think about things that I'm going to change or do I have enough security or do I do this or who's working, you know. Things of that nature before my weekend started because Friday and Saturday is our busiest day for Bomb Taco and Epoca and everywhere, obviously, in business. So the haircuts, I fell in love with getting haircuts and I have a friend of mine who owns Cream de la Creme on 84th and L Street. And his name's Eric Cortez. And I told him about getting a haircut. I used to get haircuts in the shop. And I was like, bro, I was like, if you need a partner, let me know. I'd love to get into haircuts, whatever. So anyways, he eventually he wanted to build out the business that he has on 84th and L. So he had the one on 48th and Giles right in front of Bryan High School. And I was like, I can get that off your hands. So let me, you know, what do you want or how do we work this out or whatever? And I was like, that you can walk me through the whole process of how to get a license and this and that. So currently I have a license for barber. The barbershop and a cosmetology too license, which I just got because I just got. So now I have three barbers and three cosmetologists.
So forgive me that I don't know exactly how that works. Are they licenses with the state? Is that
they are? Yeah.
So just to be able to do the haircuts and the styling and like color hair stuff like that.
So there's two different ones with two different people in the state. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And one of them's for barbering and the other one's for cosmetology. The cosmetology license has to, they're able to do, like you said, hair color, do this, this, and that. And the ones on this side are only allowed to use knives, haircuts, you know, stuff like that.
Just so that you know what you're doing.
Exactly. Gotcha. Yeah. And make sure I have everything just like any business and make sure you're properly prepared, you know, with all the equipment. They do checklists and stuff like that. So yeah, I hold two licenses now. Before it was just a barbering, but then, like I said, just recently, a month ago, got three cosmetologists, and now they're in there. So it's Con Estilo Barbershop.
I like the name.
So Con Estilo. Yeah. It's that was my nickname in high school, just with dark hair, afro.
It was the look.
It was my own nickname.
El Estilo that you gave yourself.
Yeah, Con Estilo. So Con Estilo, I think, is now it's a DJ name, my DJ name.
There you go.
Back in the day. So, so yeah, man, that's what I'm doing right now.
That's what I was. So it all came at the only thing that came out of just a passion, something that was, you know, something that you liked, something that you used yourself as a mental break, which is pretty badass. I mean, that's something that I think a lot of us have, these little things that we wish that one day, you know, maybe I'll do that, you know, maybe I'll open up this, or I think a lot of us have thought, oh, maybe I'll open up a restaurant, open up a little bar. But do you have any idea what it takes to do that? You know, you don't. I think you coming into it from the restaurant angle, that gave you so much probably growth and learning lessons and that, you know, all the crap that you learned throughout those, opening up every single one of them, that it kind of now, like a barbershop, you're like, it's nothing.
You know, like, you'll really be fine. It really isn't, dude. I think the easiest one was the cake shop, honestly.
The cake shop, yeah.
Yeah, I think, and I forgot to mention, so when I was a kid, my mom used to make cakes. Like in Lexington, she was like the cake lady. So that did come from a passion. I guess I forgot about it. I think we talked about it with Yesenia, the Tita owner. But it started with that. Like, my mom would make cakes for people in town. They would come and buy the cakes from her. $40, $40, $40, right? And eventually she would be like, well, do you want to make the bread? I'll give you money. if you make the bread, I'll finish off the cake, right? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'm down. So I would make the bread, the tortas, whatever, and she would put the cake together, and then she'd be like the delivery person. And then later on, she'd be like, well, I don't want, she wants to, she'd be getting cakes, but she doesn't want to make the cakes anymore. And I'm like, I'll make them. So I literally came up with my own little tools. Like, now they're all fancy and stuff, but back then they used to take like these Cool Whip lids and cut them up to make fancy designs on top. I don't know, middle school. And so I used to make these cakes, and my mom would be the face. So she'd be like, hey, ¿cómo estás, JR? Yeah, boom, toma. And but I'd be the one that makes the cakes. So she would tell me it needs to be vanilla, it needs to be strawberries in the middle with pineapples, and then they want this color decorated, blah, 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 blah. I just never wrote on it. She was the one that did the finishing writing on it. But she would give me the money. We'd go to the store. It was a small store called Save-A-Lot. And I'd buy the, like, I didn't make bread from box, whatever. So I'd buy the bread, I'd buy the everything, and then go back and I'd make it. And, like, literally she would sell it. I forgot about that.
That's awesome, yeah. So you used some of those experiences. Man, you were doing entrepreneurial stuff since you were, but like,
believe it, man. 14? That, before that, I was, I know we're going somewhere else, but I had a, when I was a kid, I remember going back to visit my cousins in Mexico. And, dude, these kids have jobs when they're, like, 8, 9, 10.
Yep.
Like, I remember I used to go with my grandpa. He used to be a albañil, which is, I don't know, carpenter, construction, foreman, whatever. He builds houses, buildings.
Construction with brick and all that.
So he'd be like, you know, mix this. Haz la mezcla. Mix this. Make the mortar. Go get a bucket of sand. Go bring water. Do this, do that, do that. Since I was 8, I remember sitting there, and then for lunch we'd sit there and just, like, make a little fire, and then we had a little, like, a little aluminum kettle thing with, like, beans and then tortillas, and that was it. But it was, dude, I'm telling you, like, when I think about it right now, I'm like, oh my god,
doesn't that make you, like, I felt like doing stuff like that when you were a kid, especially, I feel like, coming from the culture that we come from, it makes you feel like a man.
Yeah,
it makes you feel like you're one of the guys, you know, and you want to be that, you look up to that. You don't, I mean, when you're broke, you growing up broke, you don't realize that you're broke.
Nah,
you don't realize that, you don't feel that, you know, you just you feel camaraderie. You feel, you know, being part of a team. You feel, and that maybe that's the reason why so many kids get in trouble and get into gangs, get into the wrong group, because they're looking for that. They're looking for that that connection, that tie with other people. And sometimes these experiences can be the positive experiences that can turn people going towards the right direction.
For sure, for sure. I mean, you need some sort of guidance. I know they weren't super nice. My grandpa was, like, mean. He was like, boom, boom. You did something, he'd, like, hit you in the head. I don't know. Bro, like, he just hit you with, like, the, you know, his knuckle just on top of the head. Boom, and just grab you. And just, like, and my grandma would spank. So I lived with them, both of them. And, but, no, man, I think that all helped out. Honestly, like, all those experiences, what it helps me is, even when I was in the Army or in life, it's like, when I'm eating something falls on the ground, I usually pick it up and eat it still. And it's because I'm like, dude, I used to, when you eat an MRE in the desert, or you're eating your grandpa over here building whatever, your hands are super dirty, and you're like cooking beans and eating them in a tortilla, and it's like dirty everywhere. I'm like, really? Like, I'm worried about, I dropped that and I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I've never been picky at certain things. That's why I think it's made me stronger, like you're saying, those experiences. So I think that's been since I was a kid. It's always been something holding you back, and you really have to go past it, you know?
100%, yeah.
So
that's why when you face adversity later on in life, it doesn't seem like as much.
It's too easy. Everything I always say is too easy after that. Like, I would always tell my kids that in school, when I was a teacher, I used to be like, blah, 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 blah. And then I'd be like, it's too easy. It's fácil. Fácil. Todos, una, dos, tres, fácil. And then it was easy. I always tell them it's easy, 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 because everything is easy. Like, that's how I always thought about everything, was super easy, because everything else has been hard.
Yep.
That everything else, I feel like, has been easy.
And you mentioned that last conversation we had about the Army, that was one of the things that you really thought about the whole program and about your personality fitting into that world. You felt that it was pretty easy because it was just about doing what you needed to do when you needed to do it. And structure like that, I mean, that builds a callus, and that builds momentum, because you start putting those disciplines together, things start coming together. You know, things start just lining up and the opportunities start opening up. And later on, if you're doing the right things and you're in the right place with the right kind of experience, those opportunities, you're ready to open up that cake shop. You're ready to open up that barbershop. You know, so it's, I feel like that mentality of doing the repetition, doing that kind of stuff. What other philosophies have you learned throughout the way you think in the early years? Not that we're in the later years, but I'm just saying. Whoa, dude. Army, just you know, back in the 1900s.
No, man. I mean, I think it's really hard for me to put it all down. I was talking to one professor from California one time, and with a good friend of mine, Robert Aranda, who brought me here to Nebraska to teach. He used to be like the first Latino principal here in Omaha. But he told me, bro, you need to write a book. And I was like, I wish I could sit there and write a book for myself. You know, I can't. Yeah. I was like, I probably need to hire somebody to do that. But there's so much to tell that it's really hard for me to pinpoint exactly the techniques or what necessarily does that. But a lot of those things have been from past experiences. And like echándole ganas, you know, you always hear it, ganas. But I mean, like I say, it's fácil. Like I tell my kids, like he's in school or she's in school right now, and I hear them talking to their friends, and my daughter's always calling me, and she's like, oh, I'm with Anna, I'm with Chelsea, or I'm with whoever. And then they're talking about they're doing this, and I was like, and I always tease them, and I was like, imagine having two kids and going to college and doing roofing and doing that. And I always tease them, like, how easy it is for them right now. So there's no excuse, because I was like, dude, I'm like nobody, and I'm like going to school, I'm working roofing, I'm teaching, I'm bartending, I'm doing the, you know, everything.
No excuses, get it done.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just a lot of those experiences, I think, have really helped out. I mean, like we said, the military has definitely helped out. We talked about the military having structure, you know, waking up early in the morning, doing this, doing that. And most of the time it was, like you said, you do what you have to do and then no excuse. But like all of that stuff, like I said, was already easy because you come from a rough background. And obviously we're not the only type of people. There's like, I don't know, say there's 100 people, there's going to be, I don't know, me, you know, there's that 5% or something of people that have experienced all these experiences. For them, this is like, dude, this is a great life. They pay for your housing. Mm-hmm. They give you your food. Yep. I can have my own money. Like, this is great. You know, like, this is all I wanted, you know. And some people come in, they're like, oh, I can't believe I got in here, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to go get drunk. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to get in trouble.
They're all depressed and like feeling sorry for them.
I'm like, you know.
Well, so, you know, yeah.
No, that's what I'm 100%. Saying. I'm like,
brings back feelings.
I know.
I literally had, and it took a couple of years, obviously, because you know the military is not like you get your own room right away. Mm-hmm. But it takes a little bit of time in the right situation. But I was like 20 when I got my first room, my own room in my life.
Yeah.
I was like 20. It was in the military. Like, yeah. You know, the opportunities that come up and everything. Calluses, that drives you, man. That stuff that you grow with, those experiences, that drives you. Because, you know, you're going to experience more stuff. You're going to have stuff happening with one restaurant, with the barbershop, with, the, you know, all these different ventures. You're going to open up a new one, and it's going to come with a new set of challenges. But everything else that you've experienced already, it's going to make you feel like, man, it's not, you know. Things are fine. Está fácil, you know.
Facilito. I would say that was it. Facilito.
Facilito.
I would put that on a t-shirt, facilito. Bro. I know. I am not even kidding. I just remember that, so I need to put that on a shirt. My license, I got a letter in the mail that said my license for teaching is about to expire. If I need to renew it. So I've been taught since, well, during COVID, I taught for a year or so. But I was like, I'm going to renew it just to have it. Like, I have that on my back. You know what I'm saying? I still have it. So if I ever, whatever,
so
and I'm
so
like,
you did some teaching here in the Omaha metro, right? For, what was it, like 10 years almost?
I taught elementary for like 7-8 years, something like that. And then I taught middle school.
And you've been all over the place. So you did that. I mean, I'm sure part of that, like the structure and some of that kind of helps as well from learning how to be that educator. Because there's so many people that are going to be playing roles in your businesses that you need to tell them what they need to do and how to do it, you know. And I think that being that role model, I think helps. I mean, probably the military as well. Yeah, how do you, sure. how have you used any of those skills from being an educator?
Yeah, man. So,
okay. Or do you think that applies at relays?
One example of annoyingness, I guess. And plus, I learned from it, you know, whatever. When I was in the Army, I remember one time we were in the motor pool, or I was an infantryman. I wasn't mechanized infantry, but I was infantry, like a foot soldier. Mm-hmm. And then they had mechanized infantry, which were like truck drivers and all this, mm-hmm. the Humvees and the Bradleys, sorry. So we used to ride around these tanks and we'd jump out of these tanks and go take the mountain, take the hill, take whatever. But anyways, I wasn't a part of anything in the motor pool. And they put me in charge of a detail. And I was like young. And I was like, well, how am I going to be in charge of it? We're the same rank. Everybody's the same rank. And these guys have been in the military, you know, 4 or 5 years longer than me, or a year longer than me. And I'm fresh. I'm like 2 years in.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I was only 2 years in. And they already put me in charge of these people. Oh, they were so pissed, this and this and that. Because why did they put this guy? But because, you know, I do it. They get it done. I'm not going to excuse. I'm just going to get done. Why have they been the same rank for the last 2 years? You know, mm-hmm. Because they won't do things like that. Anyway, so I learned from there, the leadership part, because they would put me in charge of details. I mean, this motor pool that I wasn't supposed to be at, they wasted like a whole week. All we had to do was pull weeds from around the motor pool. Just literally pull weeds. There was nothing to do. And this is what they figure out for us to do, just pull weeds from between the rocks.
This is some of the stuff in the military that people don't talk about.
I know. I'm just putting it out there. I mean, this is one of the reasons I didn't like the Army, honestly. Like, come on, man. Like, I could be out there, you know, practicing whatever, and you got me pulling weeds. Anyways, and then, so I learned from that. I learned after that when I was in teaching, excuse me, when I was teaching, I worked with little kids, like you were saying. And then when I work with little kids, now you're working with little adults, like mm-hmm. younger adults, you know, even regular adults.
But sometimes it seems like it's tougher to deal with, man. You got to deal with egos now.
Yeah, but I mean, so when now that I own my businesses, it's like, I'm at Epoca on Saturday night. I'm basically babysitting a bunch of grown kids. And nowadays, it's like a lot of those kids that were there, they're like, hey, Mr. Magana. They remember. Oh, that's funny. They were like in kindergarten or first grade or second grade with me, and now they're 21.
Back in the 1900s.
And so now they're, you know, they're 21 and they're out there at the club, and I'm basically supervising all these kids. It's just still supervising. Like when I was teaching, I was just supervising, basically. And now I'm just supervising adults. So
that's a great way to look at it. Yeah, I had some of those experiences as well. I was training non-commissioned officer for our platoon. I think I was 20 at the time. And, I had done some stuff, but our platoon had a very diverse group. I mean, we were tracks. So everybody from AAVs, LAVs, tank mechanics, we were all mechanics. Mm-hmm. But the variety was pretty, you know, there was quite a bit of different kinds of people there. And all different kinds of personalities. And to get people to move at the rhythm that you need them to move, to get people to do the stuff that you need to get them to do for their own good and for everybody's good, especially when it comes to training, God, man, that's, you know, but you have to do it. You have to figure out ways to make mm-hmm. people move. And that's probably some of the best stuff that I grew up, you know, bringing to everything else that I have done in my life. So, again, learning lessons, all that stuff just compiles. And my dad has a saying that I carry with me very strongly, and it's, you know, en la vida vas a aprender con chingazos o con consejos. And you are, you know, you're going to either learn from lessons or, and I mean, that's a nice way to put it, but, you know, you're going to learn with hits, with lessons, hard lessons, or you're going to learn by listening to other people, you know, and it's so true, because there's, man, chingazos hay para todos. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to go through it. And if you want to go through it, you're going to go learn. Or you can learn from other people, other experiences, and kind of watch the world around you, talk to more people, and be like, that's good. Maybe I shouldn't do that, you know? Or maybe you encounter those things, those situations, and you talk to the right kind of person to get the right kind of information. Because sometimes, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes partnering up with somebody that maybe has more experience can be a better route than trying to go through the whole route of learning con chingazos yourself, you know, mm-hmm. might be a better solution. So you partnered with the barbershop, or is that all your own?
That's mine. That's just mine. But so
the cakes is the one that you...
The cake shops, yeah.
Gotcha.
So the barbershop, I did it by myself. Well, I just, you know, I run it by myself, but I don't do anything. Yeah, I go in there, I clean up the shop, I make sure there's towels, I take care of the shop, basically. Make sure there's a good place for you to cut hair, basically.
Yeah.
And collect rings. It's not super complicated. I'm not too involved in there. They're all independent contractors, say.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha, gotcha.
It's not my own.
They're kind of like suites, right? You rent like little like yeah. sections of the shop.
Exactly, yeah. So I made it fit everybody. And sure. I don't charge them ridiculous amount of rent. It's yeah. reasonable. And the cake shop, it's 50-50, but she does most of the work. I do more of the administrative things. She makes the cakes. She does all those things. And then my wife's in there, too.
You're not in there baking it up anymore?
No, man. I could. I could, honestly, but ugh. Yeah. I'm going to have to charge, like, double the prices that we're currently charging right, for yeah. me, you know? Like, oh, Juan made that cake.
It's my time, bro.
Chef con estilo. Chef con estilo made that cake. Chef
con estilo.
And then at the end, I just put con estilo. I work everything I need to work. If they would let me cut hair, I would honestly cut hair. I've cut my son's hair since he was born, so I don't have a problem cutting hair.
Give yourself haircuts ever?
Not anymore. No,
but you had when in the military, right?
Once I let it go, I'm just, all yeah. of it, you know.
I used to in the military. That's why I was like pretty confident going bald and start shaving. I'm like, yeah. I'll be fine. Yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah, no, it's tough.
Not like I have a choice. For me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting. I cut my hair once a couple years ago for Halloween. I was Bane. I was like, I'm going to try
it. Oh,
yeah. So I cut my hair all off. And now I told my daughter, I was like, well, if you want to cut it. She didn't even think about it twice. She's like, pew. And I'm like, oh, damn. I'm committed now. So she just cut it off. I'm like, I just bending over the toilet. And then she cuts it off. But, I work wherever I need it, like in the restaurant. Today I work in the front, one of the restaurants. I work as a cook, too. Whenever somebody's absent or something, I need to work. I work as a cook. I work as a hostess. I work as a bartender. I work as a security guard. I work as a light guy. If my DJ is running late, trust me, I'm the DJ.
I've seen you up there.
You wear a hat. You have to wear all the hats for everything. If my hood goes out, I have to figure out what would happen if a light goes out, if an outlet doesn't work, if, I don't know, if my water is leaking, if the sink is leaking. I don't want to call plumbers because that costs a lot of money, you know?
Sure.
And so I do it all, and I try to, you know, and try to save money as much as I can by doing a lot of these things. But even at home, I think I learned mostly at home by, like, you know, the dryer doesn't work. So obviously you watch a YouTube video and you're like, oh, it's a heating coil. Cool. Where do these guys buy it? So I go where they buy it, the people that fix the repair the dryers, and I go to the place where they buy it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I buy this. I just literally now go fix my own dryer. And I've done fixed everything. Sometimes I think it's worth it paying somebody. Like, if you're trying to save time, but if you got time in your hands and you want to figure it out. I don't mind figuring those things out, honestly.
So that on that point, time on your hands. When do you have time on your hands? Or let me rephrase that. What does balance look like to you guys? I feel like that definition or that word, sometimes it triggers people. Sometimes it's like, you know, it means something very, you know, very near and dear to us. But sometimes, I think actually all the time, it means something different to everyone else. So what does it mean to you?
For me, I think it's relaxing is time with the family. Mostly on Sundays is the day that we all plan on being together, eating breakfast, doing this, doing that.
Until so Sunday is family day.
Yeah. Like right now during the holidays is we play Call of Duty. You find me. It's con estilo.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
We play Call of Duty. My daughter plays. My son plays. I play. There's three of us playing right now, you know, at home. Say last night. I was up till 2 and I didn't realize that we had this thing. I'm just kidding.
Con razón.
No, and then I have another friend of mine, an army buddy of mine, who's same age as me. He's down in, he just retired from the army last, like, year and a half ago. But he's in Reno, so we're all playing, dude. And we've been playing since my kids were kids, right? Like, all of us had their own little system, and we're all sitting there, and we're gaming like this. We're literally, This is not awesome. New. My ears are used to this.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. And we're sitting there gaming, man, like all night. And it's fun, man. Like, so during the holidays, I'm telling you, like, we know, my friend in Reno knows, his family knows, we're playing video games, and he has daughters that play too. So I forgot about, yeah, so it's us 3, 4, 5, 6, like 6 people playing.
That's your bonding time.
Yeah, we sit there and we talk smack to each other. We don't even see each other that often, you know? Yeah. But we're sitting there, like, we're talking to each other, like, we're next to each other. And we're, you know, teasing. It's just, it's fun time, man. So, yeah. I love playing video games. And I think that's always been my thing. But I think in the last few years, I think Sundays have been the days that we say, okay, this. My other relaxed time is I love playing soccer since I was a kid. So, nowadays, my son, you know, once he turns, like, 17 or so, 16 or 17, he's been playing on my team, and so me and my friends, some of my high school buddies, and some other friends that I've made around, you know, we all play soccer together, on a Tuesday league or a Monday league or a Thursday league, you know. But it's like around nowadays, I'm getting frustrated just playing soccer because I love playing soccer, and I love echándole ganas. And some of my teammates are not echándole ganas. So I'm like, God, man, I'm like, why do I even waste my time? Why do I show up? Competitiveness. Yes, I'm still competitive. And I'm out there yelling and giving it my all and sweating. And then I got my teammates who are just like, bro, come on. You know, and they're just older, so they don't want to, like, run anymore. They don't want to fight anymore. Or they'll fight for, like, 2 seconds. But it's kind of frustrating. I'm like, bro, do I really want to keep on playing? You know?
Right.
But I do. I'm going to play. I play basketball. I go to the gym every morning, so then I'll go play basketball. That's how I met Eric, the barbershop.
Yeah.
I forgot. So I met Eric through playing basketball. I went to a gym. I was just showed up, and I started shooting some balls, and he's looking at my shirt, and he's like, you work at Epoca? And I was like, yeah. He's like, what do you do? And I was like, are you a bartender? I was like, yeah, I'm a bartender. Yeah. I don't ever tell anybody. You know, that's always telling him. I'm like, yeah, I work there. They're like, oh, cool. He's like, my friend works there. And I was like, oh, yeah, who? And then says his name, and I was like, oh, yeah. They work there. I'm like, oh, yeah. We're like, how is it working there? And this and that. I'm like, oh, it's all right. The boss is an asshole, you know? And this and that. He's like, oh, yeah, I've heard. No, I'm just kidding. And so I met him that way. And then I asked one of my employees, I'm like, hey, have you met this guy? He says he's a barber. And she's like, yeah. He's like, I'm like, is he a nice guy? Not a nice guy? I try to ask other people questions about that one person because, you know, I might get a different interpretation from just talking to them and playing with them. No, there. I'm like, is he a good guy, bad guy? You know, is he? He's like, no, he's a nice guy. And honestly, the first time I met Eric, I just couldn't figure him out. Seemed like a nice guy, but a lot of people are really nice,
sure,
and they're not. Yeah. So no, she said he was really good and this and that. So then I had to go to the gym again. I had to meet Eric again, and get more into his head. Like that's how I'm like, hey, what's up? Play some basketball somewhere. Like, oh yeah. And then, you know, talk to so and so about you. Like, oh yeah, what'd they say? I'm like, oh, nothing. Good stuff, man. This and that. He's like, yeah. So that's how I met him. And then I go, get my number, dude. If you ever come to Epoca, or, you know, or if I never get a haircut, I'm gonna stop by you. I get a haircut at least once a week. And then we just got each other's number and we play basketball. We still play basketball. Right now he's been really busy, but we play basketball like at 8 a.m. or so.
So do you just try to coming back to the word balance and you know that idea, do you just try to organize your day to fit as many different things as possible because you have so many different businesses and they're all in different locations.
Sure.
So you have to kind of make sure you know where you're going. Do you have like do you swear by your Outlook or do you just have reminders or do you just have a mess in your mind and you figure it out?
It's a mess in my mind and I figure it out. I try to keep.
How do you do that, man? Because I have a calendar and I go by it pretty strict, and I still forget things. Like, how do you keep all that stuff organized in your head?
I text myself.
Okay.
So I text myself if I come in somewhere and I'm like, oh, dude, I need to do that tomorrow. I'll text myself.
Like on a daily basis, you text like a list of different things that you might have to do. Or?
Yeah, or I put a note on there and I'll make a little note.
Gotcha.
Like, I need to order this, and this.
Yeah.
But I don't do it by myself, honestly. I keep track of my schedule, but most of it is just, you know, like you said, go with the flow, basically.
Yeah.
And but if I have something scheduled, something like hard, like today's, you know, mm-hmm. podcast, I'll make a note of it on my calendar, and then I'll get a reminder, and then my buddy JR texted me yesterday, like, make sure to remind me. Hey, remind me to text me in the morning. Remind me again. No. So, yeah, I mean.
So you put filters to make sure that you don't miss
the most important things, yeah, I have somebody, you know, remind me.
Yeah.
Whether it's you, whether it's me, I remind myself or put in whatever. But other than that, I have some key employees that help me out tons, yeah. You know, at the restaurants. And honestly, it's my cooks. Like, yep. My head cooks, most of them are not, they didn't go past, like, elementary.
Yeah.
But I think they've worked in the kitchen, and I think they like working with me. And it's because I treat them well, and I think I use more than their cooking abilities.
Sure.
Does that make sense? They're not just cooking for me. Like, I'm like, hey, I'm going to teach you to do something else. And they're, like, happy to do it. They're, like, learning to use the computer. They're learning to use the iPad. They're learning to make notes. They're learning to text. They're learning to this. And I think they like it. When I teach them little things like that, that, you know, so send me a list of these things or whatever. Or from now on, I'm going to let you talk to Jose and place the orders. Or talk to Joe and place the orders, you know. And they're like, you sure? And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, if anything, let me know. Should I order? Should I not order? But most of them is just giving them the, is it called the rienda? Or I don't know.
Yeah, soltando la rienda.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, soltando la rienda, and or just giving them the keys to the place, basically.
Yeah.
And you have to trust the people you work with, so.
Yeah.
And I do. And I think that's why they like working with me, because I don't use them. It's just like a cook. They're not a number to me. It's like they're like family to me.
But I think that's the only way to grow, man, because you have to have those individuals so that you can step out of your current roles and start getting into the new new spot where you know you need to be in to grow either that company or the next. Growing multiple companies is not something for the faint of heart. It takes a lot of juggling, and you need those people in place so that they can take on the roles and responsibilities that they need to. One thing that I brought from the military that I carry with me as well is that when you hold a billet or some kind of position, you are not just, you don't get that position. You don't get just the perks of being in it. The biggest thing that you're doing when you're holding a billet is that you're holding a responsibility. It's a duty. You have to be the one responsible to carry out the tasks and duties of that role. You know, it's the opposite when people think, oh, now I'm the manager. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, bro, you are the manager. Go manage. Make everything happen that needs to happen and make sure that everyone else is playing their role as well. Otherwise, it's on you. So when you get that individual that has just as much devotion as you expect from them, man, it makes the world a difference, because they're not just holding a job. They are actually there almost as a partner. And man, those people are gold. Those people are gold. If you can keep those people in your circle as much as possible, and then when you give them that trust, you know, they do it with authenticity and they do it the right way, and they, you know, they hold on to that trust. You get to grow with that trust. You know, it changes everything, the dynamic of how you know, you have a peace of mind that things are being handled and you don't have to worry about, man, when something goes wrong, are you doubting that person? You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm. When because those things, I'm sure, are happening all the time. You know, when you do, you have a sense of security. Like, nah, he's got it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm sure that's how you've grown.
Yeah.
And that's how I've grown. I think they put us in leadership roles where they're like, oh, bro, JR's got it.
Yep.
Juan's got it. I mean, honestly, I got out of the military, worked at Applebee's, and eventually wanted to make me manager at Applebee's because I was doing so good, and, you know, I was working with people, everything like that. So that was another thing I decided not to, because they didn't want me to go to school. Another time that it happened was I was working in roofing, and my boss needed an assistant. I told him, I was like, I need another job, dude. I was like, I got a family to take care of.
Yep.
He's like, well, I need an assistant. And I was like, well, what is it called for? What? And he's like, well, I need you to walk around, do this. I think he just wanted somebody to hang out with, honestly. Yeah. And I was like, all right, sounds good, man. So that's the first time I ate sushi with that guy. Taught me how to eat sushi. But I started walking around, and I would learn everything that everybody's doing. Like, literally, my boss, his dad, the payroll lady, which is sister, I think, and then, like, the foreman, everything, and how they pick, how they order. Eventually, I was running the whole place by myself.
Yeah.
Now, the owner didn't show up. His dad didn't show up. The sister showed up just to do payroll. Like, literally, nobody was going to show up. I was, like, the project manager. I would go out and do estimates. I would go out and measure roofs. But I was using different techniques that nobody was using, which they go out there and roll these things, right? Again, we're from the 1900s, okay? Not that old guys, okay? So, but I was just kidding. I was like 2006 or 2007 that I was doing this. But they go around, they measure roofs with tape measures, or my boss was like, oh, I'm using this, and he's using like a roller thing. Well, I was using Google Earth. And nowadays, Google Earth is like, you have to use it. But in 2006 or 7, when I was doing it, I was like using Google Earth to measure the roof because I was, you know, I was tech savvy, so I could do those things. I would be able to measure. And there were certain things I couldn't measure that I had to go out there and measure. But the rest of it, I could give you an estimate by this afternoon on a big ass commercial building versus, you know, some of the old school roofers go out there and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll be out there this week, give you an estimate. No, I could do that shit from my phone. Well, not from my phone, from the computer. And then I, you know, do it that way. And I was more efficient. I was literally doing everybody's job because I was more efficient from one spot, or like do it faster. And eventually I was running that roofing company. I ended up getting out once I got my degree in teaching. So,
and that's another thing. I think just being able to adapt and overcome, being able to learn with the times, you know, and make sure that you're always leaning into what needs to happen next, never shying away from new technology, from the new systems, from the new opportunities, from the new challenges, because all of that is growth. And if you're not moving along with the times, you're falling behind. You can't just stay stagnant. You can't be like, no, we're going to stay steady. No, you have to learn. You know, AI is the new rave and all these different things. We're all going to have to use these kinds of things and adapt, move along with the times as needed. I think we're running out of time, man, but thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate the conversation. I think we're going to have to run it back on the next round.
Let's do it. Appreciate it, man. If not, I'll be here tomorrow at 8 in the morning
again. No, 100%. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Later.